Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight, right here, live, around the world, on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWCR. We are on the 18th day of January, ladies and gentlemen. Robert E. Lee's birthday be tomorrow, and we'll celebrate that, praise y'all. We're going to have a wonderful time in the coming year of 209, many interesting things are beginning to formulate. The New World Order is alive and well on planet Earth, and not many people of Yahweh are standing up to take notice that we are in the last days. Well, tonight, we're going to give you one of the greatest astounding mysteries in the Bible. The great mystery of who the Father is. You know, most people use a lot of scripture to confuse themselves. And tonight we're going to use a few scriptures to try to clarify just exactly who this man from the heavens declared himself to be. We're going to analyze that, and we're going to start tonight in our text of Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 25 as we begin a series on the mystery of the Father. At that time, reading out of King James now, at that time Jesus, better known as Yahweh the Savior in the Aramaic, answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, you know, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most perplexing mysteries in the whole Bible is the subject of the Father. We, in a carnal state of mind, want to think of the Godhead as three persons, separate and yet somehow inseparable. Well, we're going to try to go into the Godhead and to look into the Godhead and to express the scriptures of the Godhead and show you plainly who the Father is. You know, one of the greatest marvels, if this is true, of what I'm fixing to deliver you tonight, you will become acquainted, maybe perhaps, for the first time, and if not for the first time, you'll be better acquainted after we get all of the scriptures on the subject. Now, let's go over to 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the glory forever and forever, the King eternal, immortal, and invisible. Well, if God is the Father, and the Bible would indicate that He is, and if He is the Father, we need to really examine this great mystery of the fatherhood and the mystery between the Father and the Son. Here in Matthew it says that no man will know who the Son is but the Father. It's just like they got a secret between them. And they're waiting for you to search it out or to prove yourself worthy of this great mystery. And once you figure out who the Father is, you'll know who the Son is. Or once you figure out who the Son is, you'll know who the Father is. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So the Son has to reveal to you the great mystery of who the Father is. The God of the Bible, let me put it to you and frame it in a question for you. If the God of the Bible is the Almighty, the Creator, the Most High, and no one compares to Him, then can Jesus Christ be God if He says that our Heavenly Father is His God? Well, you cannot be the Most High God, would be a natural assumption, and be in submission to the Most High God and say that He is your God. It don't really make any sense, does it? With the scriptures that we talk about here in Ephesians 1:17, that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you could know Him better. Now this great mystery, wrapped in a mystery, and it says in 3:17, 1 Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Oh my. Well, wait a minute here now. I thought it was the Son, Pastor Buddy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Father being a spirit, and we're going to prove that, St. John 4:24. God is a spirit. Now, spirit doesn't have a flesh and blood body. God is everywhere, at all times, in all places. And so then, if God cannot be limited to a certain place, then can He be limited to a certain body and call Himself the Son? Well, we're going to see if God operated out of the Godhead in the Son. And I believe He did, and we're going to prove that He did according to the Son and confirmed by the Father Himself. So, Romans says, with one heart and mouth, that you may glorify the God and Father of our Messiah, who should have praise to be God the Father, and the compassion and God of comfort. Praise be to God the Father of our Messiah, who has blessed us in heavenly places with spiritual blessings. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Messiah. Now, if God is a Father, God is a Spirit. So then, if the Spirit overshadowed Mary, let's find out if that be true, being made so much better after that the Son was born, here's what Paul had to speak about Him in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in the last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed an heir of all things, and by whom He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. The express image of God is expressed perfectly in the body of flesh that distributed, well, exhibited itself would be a better word, He did distribute his body for the sins of his people. But he exhibited his body and showed it openly. And this man, God in the flesh, God visited the earth in a flesh body and called himself the Son of God. And actually, that's true. Because the Spirit became the Father, Mary became the Mother, and so by overshadowing Mary, the Spirit produced itself a body, and we're going to prove that that Spirit got in that body and walked in it for 33 years, and then it died, and now it's resurrected, and that the Godhead is in that body. Well, let's read on here and find out. Being so much better than the angels, verse 4, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Now, in John 5:43, the Father said, I've come in my Father's name. And yet, the blind, ignorant, fearful, superstitious, slow bellies, and the Jews, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the scribes, they couldn't reconcile him being a man because they'd see him down at the bar drinking wine. And no doubt he was probably a little boisterous and a little adventuresome and full of life and living and loving. And they just couldn't understand because Christ himself said, well, John came neither eating nor drinking, and I come eating and drinking, and you said that John had a devil, and you call me Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So you can't win for losing, and that's what Christ was alluding to, that irregardless of how that people perceive each one or other in the flesh, they cannot understand that God actually, literally, walked among men in a flesh body and gave it for the sins of Jacob Israel. Literally, that's what he done. For unto which of the angels had he at any time said, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. See, the eternal Spirit, which cannot be limited to a body. You see, when the Holy Spirit filled the temple of the body of flesh that we call the Son, it was also outside the body of flesh. It filled heaven and earth, the Bible said. Now this is, it's just mind-boggling when you think about the extent of the Godhead. And this is why that the prophets had problems. The writers had problems of expressing this great mystery. Great is the mystery of Godness. God was manifest in the flesh, and God was seen of angels. Here it says, and which to the angels has he said at any time, Thou art my Son, and I have begotten thee, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, now the first begotten unto the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Well, we know that all of them didn't. But they were supposed to. Lucifer rebelled. He was envious and jealous. He tried to kill that body of flesh. Matter of fact, he did kill it. He persecuted it from the day it was born. I mean, he tried to kill him when he heard that that this king, this great king, that is the King of Glory, the King Eternal that's mentioned there in 1:17 of 1 Timothy we just read, immortal, invisible. God, the invisible Spirit, was filling the body of flesh called the Son, and he was walking among people, and Satan recognized him and tried to kill him. Well, shouldn't he know that if he'd kill him, that he would raise himself up? Well, that's why Satan was betting that he couldn't do it. I think it really astounded Satan himself that somebody could survive the first begotten. I mean, you think about what a miracle. of raising from the dead. Somebody that's dead, no life in them, raised up from the dead. Only God, the Father, the Eternal Spirit, could manifest Himself in such a powerfully wonderful, wonderful, joy unspeakable, and full of glory of how that the Father, which is mentioned in John 20 and 17, listen as I read, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Now with that ambiguous language that he said, I ascend to my Father, if the Father is a spirit, all he was saying was, I'm going to ascend back into the spirit world, which is exactly what he did. And I'm going to ascend to my Father and your Father, which their Father was the Father of that flesh body. He walked among men. God became a man, literally, and died and gave himself. And then when the Father got back in that body of flesh, he's the fullness of a Godhead. And yet he's so full of him that he's outside himself. And a better way to put it, some of the people that really think that this is astounding and unbelievable think that you're beside yourself. That's what they thought about Paul when he preached this great mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. The Edomites, the Jews, they just couldn't understand how that God, the Eternal Father, the one they call Yahweh, would come down and walk among people and be such a character. Because they said, well, this is a wine bibber. But in Revelations 3 and 12, he said, he who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, who was the Son's God? The Father. Well, where's the Father? Well, the Father was in him. The Spirit. And yet, the Father was outside him. So, therefore, in ambiguous terms, if you will, the language, very ambiguous, was so confusing that he said, where is your Father? Well, we're going to get into that segment of it. And we're going to actually discuss if the Messiah was sitting at the right hand of God in heaven when the book of Revelation was written, why does the Messiah continue to make such a clear statements that our Heavenly Father is His God if He Himself is God? Now, how could he do that, Pastor Buddy? Who was He praying to in the garden is the obvious questions of the unbelievers. And Christ said Himself, unless you believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins. You've got to come to the point to acknowledge that the Son was God walking literally in the flesh. Now let me give you a scripture for that. In the beginning was the Word, John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, according to the 14th verse. And in verse 10, He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. So the paradox here, the way He acted in the flesh, God don't do this. God's holy. God can't be touched with sin, and yet He ate with and drank with sinners. And so the religious people, it was the religious people, it was the common people who heard Him gladly. Let's go to Mark 12, 28. Which is the first commandment? 29. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. Thou shalt love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in verse 35 it said, and when the confusion was, they said, well, you can't be God. You're a sinner. You're a wine bibber. You've got a devil. And, of course, the Messiah told them that He didn't have a devil and that they just didn't know who He was. Him that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him my new name. Now, the Son had never had a name. And so then, the Father gave him this name. The Son said, I come in my Father's name. The Son inherited the Father's name, just like it's written here in Hebrews 1 and 8. Listen to this. But unto the Son he said, as he maketh intercession, unto the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits and ministers his ministers a flame of fire. Those ministers are the ones that revelate the mystery, that bring it to you. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. But unto the Son, he said, who he gave the Son the name that he had from the very beginning. Well, a new name. It was a new name for the Son because the Son just got his name. He got the Father's name. But unto the Son, he said, thou throne, O God. Here's the Father saying that the Son is God. And if you can't say that, then you can't agree with the Father. But remember, it's only to whom the Father will reveal to you who the Son is. And likewise, the Son must reveal to you who the Father is, because it's a great mystery. For we have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one now who is risen and in every way was tempted in all points like we are, to reconcile our sins and forgive us of our sins and take the human nature element. God became a human. God became a blushing Israelite. Bone of Jacob's bone and the flesh of Jacob's flesh. Not only was he the progenitor of the house of Jacob, he was the offspring of the house of Jacob. God became a man. And ladies and gentlemen, it was impossible for us to become God. We tried. But we were coming up short. Hear, O Israel, Mark 12:29, the Lord our God is one. One. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. John 14:6-7. Well, Philip said, show him to us. You know, it's getting too deep for us. Well, I said, Philip, if you've been so long with me and yet you have not known me, when you see me, you see the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So the Son revealed to Philip just exactly what he said it would take for you to see who the Father was. The Son said, Philip, when you see me, you see the Father. And here's the great mystery. How could God become a man and not be limited to a body of flesh? Because when he was walking on the water, he was the man that was holding up the earth. Everything moves because of him. Not only could he still the water, of course, if somebody made the oceans, and you know how deep they are, and how gigantic they are, but here's a man that created heaven and earth. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But he said, Philip, when you see me, you see the Father. Well, the visible, now this is the Father's invisible. He's a spirit. He can't be seen even outside the Godhead. The Son has to have some physical way of revealing to you who He is, and He has to have this flesh body. God became a man, literally, because you couldn't become God. You had to obtain a flesh body to get in here. Well, God had to obtain a flesh body to come down to you. You had to have a flesh body to get back to Him, and He had to have a flesh body to come down to you. And He met you, basically, if you draw near to Him, He draws near to you, and that sort of thing. God came to the earth to become a man. And it was a marvelous thing. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 16. Read a little bit more here. But the Messiah answered them, my Father is working still, and I am still working.
This was why that the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath here in John chapter 5, but he also called God his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, wait a minute. Making himself equal with God? Well, that's what the Bible said. Making himself equal with God. John 15:23. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If you hate me teaching that the Son is God, then you hate God. But if you can accept the teaching that the Son was God manifest in the flesh and receive it into your spirit, and receive it with a good spirit, then you'll understand. Let's go to John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? No, that's what I'm talking about here. Listen to this ambiguous language that was so complexed in mystery that the Jews sought to kill him because he'd made himself equal with God. And the very scripture that they stoned him for is in John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Boy, that got it. I mean, that done it. That made the Jews so angry with the Messiah. Oh, man, you're blaspheming. You're making yourself God. Well, that's what he was. Why couldn't he be God? Yet it was such a stretch for these strict Pharisees and these scribes that they could in no way accept that he was God in the flesh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that he was just exactly who he says he was. If I am not doing the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in my Father. John 10:37-38. When they picked up stones, then he gave them a lecture. When they killed him, or tried to kill him for the statement that he made in the 30th verse, I and my Father are one, then the Jews took up stones again. Previously, they tried to kill him for the same thing. And he said, for many good works have I shown you from my Spirit or my Father. That's what he was really saying, my Spirit. The Spirit is showing you many works of God. Can't you believe it? They said, well, we don't stone you for raising the dead and casting out devils and doing all these miracles you're doing. We stone you because you're blaspheming, because you say you're Yahweh. And John 5:43 said, I come in my Father's name. See, this is a family thing here, ladies and gentlemen. This eternal Spirit, God is a Spirit. He's not a person. But literally, he became a person. And the Godhead literally became a part. Therefore, unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God. Now, ain't no two gods. It's the same God, but it's in the context of one is a man and the other is a spirit, and when they're joined back together, they're one. God's eternal Spirit filled the person called the Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body. That's all it amounts to. And it's no great mystery if you can see that. Verily I say unto you, John 5:19, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatsoever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son. Oh my. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be astonished. John 5:19 and verse 20. Oh, my. You'll be astonished when you really know these things. I was astonished. Oh, my. About 50 years ago, or better, when I found out that the Father and Son, there was no such thing as a Holy Trinity of persons in the Godhead. That the singular God became a flesh man and called himself the Son, and in my mind, that was two, but really, God is not a person, so that's only one. God, the Eternal Spirit, has never multiplied other than what He was in its original form. He just entered the body, the Son, as He overshadowed Mary. He filled that body full of the Eternal Spirit and called Himself the Son. And the Pharisees and the scribes couldn't understand His speech. Where is your Father? He said, well, if God was your Father, you'd know me. See, they claimed that God was their Father, but here was God looking at them through a set of physical eyes, with a set of physical lungs, just like them. And yet, because He didn't do what they considered that somebody holy would do, He was down at the local bar having a drink with the boys, drinking a little wine and probably hanging out with the wrong crowd. The Bible said He ate and drank with sinners. And you know, a Pharisee would never do that. That's above their calling. See, it's their self-righteousness that pinned them and their understanding to the floor of their minds, and they couldn't rise above the level of the flesh. Here in John 5:22, listen. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone, listen to this now, anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Well, now, wait a minute here. John 5:22 and 23. Now, who sent Him? It sounds like He came on a mission by Himself. Well, the Son said, well, the Father's with me. They said, where is your Father? Well, he said, the Father's in me. They couldn't get it. They just couldn't get it. Here is the eternal God talking in this ambiguous language over and over and over, and the carnal mind, although it was religious, for well, they reject the commandments of God to keep their own tradition. It was the common people in verse 35 that received His testimony in Mark 12:29 when He said Him and God was the same person. The Jews stoned Him for it, and the common people heard Him gladly. They could grab it, just the common people. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to Him. Luke 10:22. And I just read you the corresponding scripture of Matthew 11:25-27. Great mystery. God, the Father, is a mystery wrapped up, ladies and gentlemen, in one person. God is one. God is one person. Well, why couldn't they grab this? Then said they unto Him, where is your Father? John 8:19. Listen to this now. The Messiah, Yahweh in the flesh body, called Jesus in the King James, here's what He said. You neither know me nor my Father. If you had have known me, you should have known my Father also. And these words spake the Messiah in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no man laid hold on Him, for His hour had not yet come. But the Messiah said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, and where I go you cannot come. And then said the Jews, will He kill Himself? Because He said, where I go, you cannot come. And then, here's what he said. He said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of the world, carnal mind, and I am not of the world. He was speaking, therefore I said unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what did he actually mean by that? If you don't believe that I am the eternal Father, that Spirit embodied in me, Christ had access to everything in this world. He had access to everything out of this world. He had access to everything in the planet systems that you see here. He knew in the heavens exactly what was going on up there because he groaned in his spirit and he said, today the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Nobody else knew it. They didn't hear no shooting and banging going on, but the Messiah knew what was going on. Satan was making a run for the throne because God Almighty had vacated the throne and became a man. Amazing! There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Revelation 12 and verse 7. And Michael prevailed. You see, it was the loyal angels that knew that God was on a mission in earth. And that's why it said, let all the angels worship Him. And Satan said, not so. I'll be like the Most High. While he's down there, I will ascend above the clouds and in the heavens and above the throne. I'll rule. And Michael said, not so. Gabriel said, not so. All of the angels that stayed loyal with the other angels, they fought over this issue of God becoming a man. And ladies and gentlemen, you must fight in your own spirit and war against that unbelief in you, because if you do not believe that He is who He says He is, you're going to die in your sin. You say, well, I don't want to deny the Father. When the fullness of time come, there came a man. And this man began to teach a new kind of life. He began to express life in God's kingdom and life under God's reign and God's presence, life with God's favor, God's power. And he taught that this life was now possible for human beings, ordinary human beings, men, women, slave, free, rich, bond, or poor, as long as they were of the house of Israel, that they had a shepherd before their sins. He was a kingdom bringer. He brought in the kingdom, and he said the devil is angry that God became a man. And therefore Satan tempted him. Do you know what the Messiah said to him when the temptation was over with? Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship God, and Him only shall you serve. And Satan departed, whipped. Yahweh was able to take on the power of the Luciferians here upon this earth. He could have called 12 legions to take him down off the torture stake, but it was prophesied that he would die. God would die. God in a flesh body. God would die. And you say, oh, well, Pastor Buddy, I just can't understand that. Well, let's read on here. You're of your father the devil. The works of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Why can't you understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You don't believe he was God in the flesh? Oh, my. Well, let's find out if he was. We're going over here to the book of Revelations, and we're going to read a scripture here in chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 8. I am Alpha Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith Yahweh, the Lord, it says in the King James, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, He's coming back as the Almighty, and all of His angels, according to Matthew 25:31, is coming back with Him. Now, the angels that fought on His behalf and remain loyal are coming back to put down Satan, who's going to be loosed on this earth in a very short period of years, with His angels, and He will gather, and that's why we're having a new world order, ladies and gentlemen. Satan is going to come and sit in a stone temple under the name of Jesus Christ, and all the world are going to beat their swords into plowshares. He's going to come in peacefully, obtain the kingdom, and deceive the very elect, sitting in the temple of God, showing Himself that He is God. He'll be a false god. And the real God will appear from heaven as the Almighty in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Oh, here He claims to be Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Well, here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 10, as we look at a verse of Scripture there very quickly, we're going to go there very quickly, and we're going to give you some indication of just exactly who He said He was. Here in 44, verse 6, now then I'll read you 10 and 11 in 43. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel, well, to the only eternal King, the immortal, invisible God, Paul said. The immortal, invisible God is God made manifest here upon earth in a flesh body and walked here as a mortal man. He wept. He was hungry. He cried when they killed Him. He wept. It hurt. When He cried, everybody thinks that he was just basically actually sorrowing for the people, and He was. For His own people. However, the pain hurt. It really hurt Him when they lashed His back with a cat of nine tails 39 times, save one strike. They opened up His bones, and His bones stirred back at Him, as it's written in the book of Zechariah. All my bones stare at me. Here was His naked back beat to a bloody pulp, and it hurt. Oh, God was dying in a flesh body. But what is the song? But I'll rise again. And Satan said, no way. When you're dead, you're dead. That's the law. That's what the law said. When you're dead, you're dead. Once appointed until man had died. But Christ said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. They couldn't kill that spirit. Three things that left the body on the torture stake when they were torturing Him. When they cut open His side out, came water and blood. And the last thing to leave it was the spirit. And that spirit was the Father, the Spirit of God in Him. At last departed that flesh body, and it literally died. Now the Son's dead. We don't know the Son no more. Even after the flesh, we don't know Him no more. Now the Father departed and went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. Oh, my! They couldn't get out. They couldn't escape. After they shed their physical bodies, they were held in a prison, and Satan was the warden and had the keys of hell and death. And so then, the eternal spirit who descended into the lower parts of the earth according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And according to the 1 Peter chapter 3, that he descended and preached to the souls that were disobedient, even in the days of Noah. Opened up the way, took the keys of hell and death, and here he said, I'm alive forevermore. I'm Alpha Omega, coming back as the Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not going to come back to ride a little colt. He's going to come back as the eternal King, the Mighty One, the Eternal God of God, the Lord of Lords, if you will, the Eternal Yahweh. the first and the last. I am the Redeemer. I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. You are my witnesses and those who I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Christ said, unless you believe I am He, you shall die in your sins. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. John 43:10-11. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. And you want another Savior? You say God and Jesus is two different beings? How carnal can you be? How much confusion can you believe here? It's so simple. Revealed to babes and to sucklings, and now for the final, as I gotta wrap this message up, part one of the Father. I'll get into part two next Sunday night, Yahweh willing, and we're still around. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some astounding things coming down for 209. You ain't going to believe what's going to happen as we begin a new year. We got a new president, ladies and gentlemen, but he's not a new president. He takes his orders from the CFR and the Illuminati, and so there's not going to be no changes, except it's going to get worse. Evil men will wax worse and worse. Oh, yes, charismatic. Yeah, a smile. Yeah. Lean and trim. But ladies and gentlemen, don't let this flesh Babylonian system fool you for a moment. It's going to be a time of trouble coming up for you, and if you don't understand these mysteries that I'm trying to reveal to you, you're going to be lost. Listen, his head and his hairs were white like wool. His head was white. I'm showing you of what bloodline he was. Adam's bloodline. Showing blood. And his hair was white. It was white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass, and as they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. You see, the Godhead is in that body of flesh. God, the Father, was in Christ, reconciling the world. The Father, the Eternal Spirit, was embodied in Him. The Father. He called Himself the Father. The Son said, my Father is greater than you are, for the greater than I am. And He wasn't lying. The Eternal Spirit, I can do nothing, He said, of myself. It's the Spirit in me that doeth this. And in the 17th chapter of Matthew, when Peter and James and John saw the cloud overshadow Him, and it was a voice spoke, not from heaven, it spoke in the cloud. And here's what the voice said. This is my beloved Son, not of whom I'm well pleased. If he would have been a separate entity, he would have said of whom. But he didn't say that. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom the Father was in the Son. Right there it is, reconciling the world unto Himself. The crowd was amazed and staggered by this when He said, I and my Father are one. It was amazing in John 8:57 when they said, you're not yet 50 years old, and yet you've seen Abraham, because the Messiah said, before Abraham was, I am. And if you can't believe that, that was the Eternal Spirit speaking there, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, the flesh man wasn't thousands of years old. It had just been born. He was just a young lad. And they'd seen him down at the local pub hanging out with a gang. And he'd run around town preaching insurrection and preaching against the Sanhedrin court. He couldn't be a man of God. And therefore, they persecuted him. They hated him because of his language. They couldn't understand. They couldn't figure out because it was hid. And don't let it be hid to you. For heaven's sake, don't miss this. Let this great mystery. The crowd staggered at his response. You're not even 50 years old and you claim to have seen Abraham? Then comes one of the most dramatic statements in history. I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. John 8:58. Oh, man. Y'all love it. Listen to this now. His head and his hair was white. He had feet that burned like a in a brass oven. And he had in his right hand, verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Now this is symbolic, because no man can hold seven stars. The sun is a star. If you want to look at this ambiguous language, this is metaphoric, trying to get you to see the analogy here. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. Well, here in Isaiah 44, 6, 7, and 8, God said, I am the first and the last, and beside me there's no God. Here the Messiah, we're going to prove it was the Messiah doing the talking. He said he was the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Right there it is. Who died for you? God's body, the Son, the fleshship. The fleshship was put off right there. Now God's in that body. God literally come back and resurrected that body up and said, Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Oh man, what a majestic statement. No wonder he can claim to be king. No wonder, because he was king. He was king in spirit before he came. He was king in the flesh when he was here. He was king till they killed him. He died, and then he was king after he rose, and he's alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The Father, ladies and gentlemen, you have part one tonight of who the Father is. I've enjoyed my stay with you, and the old clock on the wall has chased me almost to the point I got to get out of here. But if you have listened to me tonight, wherever you're at, listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, I am delighted to have you aboard tonight. And if you would like to call my sponsor tonight, that's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Great man. I can tell you some of the things that I'm telling you here and confirm it. If you get you're fortunate enough to talk with Dr. G, I call him. Praise Yahweh. Now, Brother Paul with StemTech, right out of the great state of Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. Give Paul a call and tell him that the Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call has sent you up there, ladies and gentlemen. We have wonderful, wonderful people that love us and sponsor us here on WWCR. I need your help to keep me on the air and keep my hands free to keep preaching the gospel. If you'd like to write me tonight, you can do so by simply addressing your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm live here on January the 18th. Just call a Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172. Now it's area code 423-626-2172. That's my telephone number that you'll need to hook up with me. And if you'd like to discuss some of the things that we talked about tonight, if you have a comment, if you have a difference of opinion, we'd be glad to take your call. Praise Yahweh. And if you'd like any information concerning this message tonight, just simply write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, or give me a call, area code 423-626-2172. I'll be on tomorrow night on WWRB 3.185, clear channel around the world, ladies and gentlemen. And it's marvelous what shortwave is able to do. Carry the message. And we'll have, actually, simulcasting ability here on WWRB 3.185 around the world. And just a few short days down the road, we'll have simulcasting about where you can actually download us directly off of internet and your computer downloads and your micro stations, wherever you might be downloading the program tonight here that WWCR has simulcasting ability. You can simply download us on simulcasting by going strictly to www.wwcr.com. Click on Listen Live up in the left-hand corner. That'll open up the scheduled stations, transmitters, four up there, and Pastor Buddy is on transmitter number 3 at 8 o'clock every Sunday night. I'll see you tomorrow night on WWRB 3.185 around the world. That's at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That'll be 8 Central down your way in the Central Zone. And we'll see you then, praise Yahweh, around the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here because the old clock on the wall is telling me I've got to do so. But I've enjoyed being with you. Yahweh's richest blessings be upon you until I see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you and keep you in the Father's name. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh.